As I was praying about what to share today, God just basically said, tell the story of what you've been dealing with. And so that's what I'm going to do today. I'm just going to kind of tell the story of where God's been working in me the last few months. And hey, even going back years. And so we've got to, like, every time I get them to talk, at the end of the sermon, somebody will come and say, all right, what's the title for that? I'm like, I hadn't even thought about that. I don't know. But apparently they got to label it to go on the website or whatever. So, Gene, you can go ahead and write this down. God is always in control, and his ways are best. Okay? God is always in control, and his ways are best. So, just for those of y'all that don't know, I'm going to just kind of give you a brief recap of, I guess, of my life since I met April. We've been married 19 years now. I met her. She had diabetes, and I knew when I married her, okay, health could be an issue with diabetes. Never did I imagine that that would be the least of our worries, health-wise, or what seems to be the least of what we deal with. Somewhere along the way, she got this growth in her stomach. We had it removed, named her Abby Grace. She's sitting here. Then a second growth would come along, and we named her Maggie. Those were good things. But somewhere in the midst of all that, she started having problems in her neck and pain with that. And we had a surgery, and it didn't work. We had another surgery, and it didn't work. And we've had additional surgeries. And she's had five neck surgeries, lives with a broken neck, deals with pain all the time. She's had a nerve stimulator inserted into her beautiful gluteus maximus that runs up into her neck that helps her deal with pain and that sort of stuff. But she still has stuff she has to deal with on a daily basis. And we've got other stuff that goes on. Well, you know, is me just being honest with you, we come in here and you know, we talk about faith and prayer for healing and God can do anything, and we pray for that, and I pray for that and pray for that for her and for other things, and I don't see the answer. And I get discouraged. And I get mad. And we come in here and we sing songs about God being a healer. I'm saying, well, he ain't healing my life. And so there's times I come in here discouraged. I come in here upset. I come in here bothered. And what's especially hard is when we start to think we're seeing God's answer to stuff and we start praising him for that. And then, like a number of people mentioned at the end of the service last week, seems like you start doing that and telling of the goodness and just boom. You just get slapped down and things go back into where they were, if not worse than they were before. God, what's up with that? So I'm going to kind of, what today's going to be about is how I deal with that stuff. And telling you the process that I go through over and over and over, getting my mind off of that and getting my mind right. Now, what I just said to you is true. Everything I deal with, that's truth. But there's more to that truth, okay? And this is kind of where we're going to be based from today. And if y'all know, when I get up here and talk, I'm all over the place in the Bible, okay? But this is Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We got a couple of new critters at our house lately. Two kittens. April's mom had a cat, had kittens, so we ended up inheriting two of those. Maggie has a white one. It's got a little bit of color on its tail, a little light brown on its tail. She named him Cheese Dip. She loves Mexican cheese dip, and so she has named her cat Cheese Dip. Abby Grace's looks completely different. It's gray, got some black, maybe some brown in her. His name is Nash, and she calls him Nene. Okay. We also have a little dog that is part Pomeranian, part Chihuahua. So it's a Chia Pom. Thank you, Maggie. And it's about the size of Mama Cat. Well, Nene has gotten confused recently in his hunger and has gone up and tried to nurse from the dog. And you can even hear just the sound, the sucking sound, and the dog's just kind of like, what in the world? You know, what's going on? She's a female dog, but she's never been pregnant. She doesn't know. And there's some confusion there. And she has trouble understanding, this is not my mama. But she's hungry, and that's what she wants, even though she's got a food bowl that they race to when they get out of their little closet in the mornings or whatever. So the dog is confused. I mean, the cat's confused. The kitten is confused. Doesn't understand that, hey, there's a something that looks familiar, but I suck, and this, you know, I'm not getting the sustenance I used to. So there's confusion there, just not understanding things. And that's what happens sometimes with me when I get just off kilter a little bit, when I stop seeing things clearly, when I stop getting my sustenance, my resources, whatever I need from God, when I start trying to get that other places, things get confused. I become bitter. I become angry. And then I've got to get all that straightened out. So what I hope to do from this point on is kind of tell you and show you how those things kind of get straightened out in my life. And it comes through some simple things, and it's nothing that we don't know. It's just me being reminded of things that are true. And in fact, sometimes I start wondering, you know, if it's in our church in general, God, is this kind of like Job? You know, where guys, he's meeting with the sons of the angels or whatever, and then Satan appears and he says, hey, have you considered Job? You know, I wonder sometimes, have you considered the people of pursuit? I mean, the way things seem to happen here, you know, I wonder. With the people, you know, and part of that, I think it's probably stuff that happens everywhere in all churches, but we're open about our problems and our issues, and we share, and we cry out on behalf of one another, so we know stuff better. But there's times I wonder, Satan, have you considered Jamie? Now, he's not nearly as righteous as Job was, but have you considered him? Have you considered Brother Jimmy and Kay, have you considered Twyla and Jody? Have you considered Andrew, Sean? You know, just going down the list of people in our church, have you considered? Because we deal with stuff. Every one of us, some degree or another, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, emotional, financial, relational, with marriage or family or friends or whatever, we're dealing with it. And if we're not careful, we become bitter when problems arise, and they seem to keep pounding and pounding. And it's really bad when things start compounding, and you've got just stuff flying from every which way, and stress is coming on, and you feel like you're going to burst. So that happens. What do we do? What do I do? First thing, and this is something, tell you a little bit about in youth lately. I've been really challenging them to get out of their comfort zone, to do things they're uncomfortable with. We've had times where they all get up and teach each other in front of the class, when we've had some of the younger ones that have never prayed in front of the group, where they're starting to step out of their comfort zone and praying, even if they're sitting there shaking, okay? But they're overcoming their fear to minister and to serve God, which is an awesome thing. And a couple weeks ago, I think this is when it happened, they were teaching each other, and we were just having a discussion, and Cole mentioned something about having an eternal perspective. So the very first thing that I've got to realize when I'm down in the dumps is I need an eternal perspective. This world is not my home. So I don't need a worldly perspective. I don't need a perspective from the flesh, from what most other people think. That's not what my perspective needs to be. In 1 Peter, near the end of the first chapter, there's a spot where he's quoting something from Isaiah, kind of summarize it, but he says, all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. And then it goes on and says, grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our Lord remains forever. Y'all, in the idea of eternity, our life here is but a speck of dust. It's a blip on a radar, a grain of sand on the beach. It is such a minute, little, small amount. And we lose sight of that so many times. We don't have an eternal perspective. We get all about the world, all about us, all about what I want, what I need, me, me, me. It becomes just self-focused. And I want to read a passage to you out of Romans. This is from Romans 5. This is 1 through 5 out of Romans 5. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And when I'm going through hard stuff, and dealing with just mess and junk, I forget that character is being formed in me. I forget that endurance is being formed, that perseverance is being formed, that God is building me into the person I need to be, even when it's through mess. Even when it's through junk. This is not our home. We are not of this world. We got to have an eternal perspective. Last Saturday night, Twyla brought Cole over to our house to get his blood sugar tested. And it was really high. It's 508, and went to the ER, and they found out he's got diabetes and is dealing with that. And as they were going to the hospital, I texted him. I said, I'm praying for you. Whatever comes of this, you and God will be able to handle it. That's what I sent to him. This was his reply. Thanks. God is always in control, and his ways are best. Eternal perspective. So glad that young man's got it. So glad that these young people are getting that. That's his reply. Did my heart good. Does my heart good. And so that's why today's sermon is titled what it is. God is always in control, and his ways are best. In the midst of whatever, God is in control. His ways are best. So have an eternal perspective. Second thing, recognize God for who he is. Sometimes we lose sight of that. He's a creator. You know, he spoke the world into existence. You know, let there be light, and there's light. You know, all that. He's a creator. He made me in his own image. He made you in his own image. He made people in the image of God. We're his masterpiece. Okay. Not only that, he sent Jesus to die for our sins. Paid the price for all my mess ups. And made a way for me to have intimacy with God like never before. That's who he is. You know, he loved the world so much that he sent his only son. That's his character. That's his nature. I mean, you know, if you just look through Psalms, if you just read through Psalms, you see the people, David especially, just telling the greatness of God and who he is and seeing his character. Then, and the Gospels, when Jesus he's telling stories in the parables, you see the character of God. And when he's performing miracles and doing all this, you just see his heart and the heart he has for his people and how he does want the best for us. So if we stay back in Romans, and if we keep reading in verse 6 on down, this is kind of what it describes. Verse 6, Romans 5, verse 6. For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Not because of anything I'd done, just because of who he is. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. God loves you. And he does want the best for you. I know that's a cliche we hear all the time. He wants the best for you. Not the best in a worldly sense, but more the best in an eternal sense. More the best for your soul, the best for your spirit. And sometimes that makes this world hard. But you talk to just about any Christian who's been through mess, who's dealt with hardships, who's dealt with suffering, their walk with God increased tremendously during those times because of the desire, because of the necessary intimacy that's needed with God to get through them. You know, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. And in verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Once again, God revealing his character, his goodness, who he is. So when I'm down in the dumps, when I'm struggling, when my view of God gets off, I've got to get back to an eternal perspective. And I've got to be reminded of who God is and his love for me and what he desires for me. And also that he's never going to put on me something I can't handle with his help. I'm never going to be tempted beyond something I can bear. And for me, that temptation is my faith, losing faith. And that's just when I start listening to the outside world, when I start listening to not the voice of God, but something else. And I get distracted, get my eyes off him. All right, so we've got to have an eternal perspective. We've got to recognize God for who he is. And the third thing is, I've got to surrender my circumstances to God. And what I'm learning about this is it's not a one-time thing. It's something I've got to do over and over and over. And if I recognize who God is, who he truly is, and I have an eternal perspective, surrender becomes much easier. It's tough to surrender without getting the eternal perspective, without recognizing who God is. But once I do those things and start remembering that, excuse me. Boom goes the dynamite, yeah. If I can recognize those things, then I can begin to really surrender things and not just say, yes, God, I'm giving you this, but really surrender. So he can be trusted. And then I've got to start wondering, with in the mindset of surrender, am I putting something or someone in front of him? Because if I take him off the throne of my life, things get out of balance. You know, in Matthew chapter 10, near the end of chapter 10, starts saying, you know, Jesus, he's talking, and he says, whoever loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever is not willing to carry his cross is not worthy of me. So I've got to check, okay, am I putting April or Maggie or Abby Grace in front of God? Am I putting work in front of God? Am I putting something else in front of God? That, am I getting things out of order? If so, I need to surrender that to him. Abby Grace is giving me a nod, like I do that quite often. Thank you for that. So I've got to get things straightened out. And another thing I've learned through surrender, and April and I were talking with Terry about this somewhat Wednesday night, is not looking too far ahead, but just worrying about right now, today. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6, Jesus, he says, hey, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And if I start thinking about what the future holds with this situation or with that, it can become discouraging and scary and insert fear. And our God is not a God of fear. We should have a holy fear of him, but we should not fear this life or what it throws out of us because of who we have in us. And so you see over and over in the Bible about the day. In the Old Testament with the manna being given from heaven, hey, he provided a day's portion for the Israelites, nothing more. If they tried to gather it up or whatever, it was turned into worms or something, just some nasty mess. Okay? So, that's the day. There's a verse in the Bible, too. I can't think of where this is at the moment. His mercies are new every morning. He's going to provide what we need to get through the day. And so often, we start thinking about tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or even 10 years down the road, what's this going to look like? Who knows we'll be here 10 years from now? I mean, in some ways, we've got a plan for that. But we don't live in fear of that. So, one day at a time. And that's what surrender really is. It's giving God every day. One day at a time. And the other thing, if I hadn't done it by this point, that I've got to be sure to do is get my eyes off my problems. Don't let them be the focus of my life. Don't let my world revolve around that. And with this, I always think back to Peter when he stepped out of the boat to walk on water. You know, Jesus said, come to me. He steps out and he starts walking. And things are good. He's glued in on Jesus. But then he started getting his eyes off that, on the circumstances, the wind, the waves, the storm, whatever. And when that became the focus, he began to sink. And that's what happens to me in my life. If I take my eyes off Jesus, if he becomes something other than the focus of my life, parts of me start sinking. And I recognize quickly something's wrong. I'm out of kilter somewhat. I'm not where I need to be. And I love the way Hebrews 12, two of my favorite verses in the Bible, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, whatever hinders, get rid of it. Don't let that be the focus. You know, there's some things that are on us that we can get rid of. There's stuff, parts of our life that we need to get rid of, that we can get rid of. There's other stuff. It's with us. We can't get rid of it. We can't just lay it aside. But we can make sure it's not the focus of our life. We can make sure it's not the thing that we're living for, that we're worried about the most, that we're living for God. And we trust him with this. Let me get back. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And once again, in that passage, we're reminded of the cross, the character of God, who he is, what he wants for us. So, there are two things that help me to get all this stuff in order. If I'm getting to the spot where, okay, I'm eternal perspective, I've thought about that. Who God is, I've thought about that. Surrender, yes, I know I need to surrender, but I've thought it. I've said, and I've even said, God, I'm giving this to you, but it's just not happening. Been there where you're praying something, you're wanting something, but it's in reality, it's just not there. Been there. I've been there. That happened to me. So when that happens, what I do then? There are two things that I found that helped me the most. The first thing is praise. And especially in here on Sunday mornings, when I can come and not just think something to God, but I verbalize it. And I give him not just my mouth and my mind, but I give him my body. God, here I am. I might not even be feeling this right now, but I know this is truth, and so I'm giving it to you. And he takes that, and he does stuff with it. And when he does, I'm reminded, yeah, April's not healed, but he reminds me all the things he's done for her, how she can get through the day now without hurting as much as she used to, about different things. He reminds me of those things, about how we're doing, about this little step, this little step. And he reminds me of, Jamie, I have not answered that the way you want it answered, but I'm answering it. It might not be the expectation you had, but I'm answering it. You know, for a while we had a thing with the blocks stacked up. And what's that called, Twyla? But we had the rocks stacked up, the Ebenezer, the reminders of who God is, of what God's done. For some reason, that comes back to me during praise. God reveals things as I praise him. So it's not just me singing of his greatness or telling his greatness, but it's a communication thing going on there. And that helps me a lot. And the second thing is to serve or minister to somebody else. If you need to get your mind off of you and just get your mind off your problems and just get where you're not stuck on you, do something for somebody else. Serve somebody, minister to somebody. I'm lucky that I get to get up and teach these youngsters every Wednesday night. interact with him. It's something I've got to prepare for, where I've got to. It's my responsibility is to get my mind off of me and to prepare and to teach them. That's a huge blessing for me. So no matter what I'm going through, middle of the week, I've got to prepare to teach them. I've got to make it a point to get in God's Word, to get my eyes off of me, to prepare for them. Hey, thank y'all for showing up on Wednesday nights from time to time. I appreciate it. It helps me. So all that said, let's go back to where we started. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is always in control, and his ways are always best. Best is not often easy. Best is not often easy. Best is not always fun. But best is best. One lady, I don't know her personally, but one lady that's really helped me deal with stuff when if I start feeling sorry for myself is Johnny Erickson Tata. If you don't know her, she's a lady, I think she's in her early 60s now. She was very active. When she was 17, she swam out to a raft somewhere and dove in the water. And it was very shallow, and she hit and was immediately paralyzed. Luckily, her sister saw her and went and saved her life. But from that point on, she's had no use of her legs, no use of her hands. She can move her arms a little bit. And she loves God. She prayed for healing for a long time, that she would walk again. 45 years later, she still isn't. She started a ministry, Johnny and Friends, and they really reach out to the disabled. And sometime along the way, she met a man named Ken, and they got married. And I've heard her describe the things her husband has to do. So, I mean, think about it. If you're laying in bed at night and you get an itch on your face, you can't even scratch it. Or a bug's bothering you. But she talked about when she had double pneumonia. And every 15 minutes throughout the night, her husband had to do something with her chest and then help her cough up stuff and then wipe her nose and then roll her over so she could, like, spit it out or whatever. Every 15 minutes. And I just look at her and the way she loves God. And her zeal for life. And the way God has used her so much in what we perceive as hardships. And she now perceives as an intimacy with God that she would have never had before. She said, I get up and I depend on God for the day. I'd have never had to do that before. The way I do now. So God takes that tragedy that really did change her life, but he uses it for his good, for his glory, for his great name, for the furthering of his kingdom. And there's no telling how many people she has reached. Not because she was healed, but because she's endured this hardship in an awesome way, in a God-glorifying way. And people see God in her and through her more because of what she's dealing with. And like I said, best is best, but best isn't always fun. It's not easy. And with that comes heartache and hurt and very hard times and often tears. But the Bible tells us that weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And it does. Joy comes in the morning. And so that said, oftentimes my prayers turn into, and I've heard Gene say this before, this is a scripture, this is straight from the Bible, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And then I've kind of taken a song and done the same thing for, Lord, I trust you. Oh, for grace to trust you more. And then somehow it always, for me, comes back to deny yourself, take up the cross daily, and follow Jesus wherever and through whatever. God is always in control, and his ways are always best. God is always in control, and his ways are always best, even when we don't see it, even when we don't understand it, because his ways are higher than our ways. And he sees things that we can't, and he knows things that we don't. And I'm thankful that he's my God. So if you've got anything you're dealing with, or if you know somebody who is, I hope you can take these words and share them. Use them. Apply them to your life. Some of y'all might be a lot better than me, where you don't have to deal with that kind of stuff, where you don't have those, call them maybe spiritual emergencies or whatever. But that's me being real. Those are the things I deal with from time to time, and sometimes more than others. But when you deal with it, remember to have an eternal perspective. Be reminded of who God is. And find a way to surrender it to him, whatever it is. Let him have it. He can handle it a lot better than you can or I can. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for your truths. Thank you for your word that's always available to us. Help us to not lose sight of that. And God, help us to never let our circumstances define you. And when it causes us to doubt or lose faith, Lord, just help us to run to you, to embrace you, to love you, to trust you, to be obedient, and just to know you, to rest in you, in your goodness and your love. And know that your ways are best. Even when we don't understand. Even when we don't know. Thank you for loving us.